Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
What just happened was pretty cool. Kathy had a mega health situation this last week, and for her to stand up here with back pain and all kinds of chest pain and everything, last week she wasn't here, and she's back, and it was just cool to see because we were wondering, is she gonna be able to lead? I don't know about you, whenever I have back pain, I don't even like to breathe, let alone do all this, you know, which was really, really cool. So just love the perseverance. Kathy, thanks for doing what you do to serve. Want to preach a message to you this morning entitled Awake, O Sleeper. And we're going to go into Acts chapter 20. If you got your Bibles, it's going to be on page 788 if you're using our Bible. And on this, I want to first start off the story that we're going to be learning about is a man who fell asleep, and there was a tragedy that took place. Whenever I was a kid, when it came around to about 9 o'clock, it was over for me. And then I hit my 20s and part of my 30s, and it was, you know, midnight or, you know, 1 o'clock. And now I'm 36. Actually, on Thursday, I'll be 37 years old, and I really like going back to that 9 o'clock. And I'm not old, but I'm feeling like I'm, you know, starting to enjoy those 9 o'clocks. But no matter where we would be out for dinner, let's say, with our family, and we're all sitting in a booth, and I would just find a different booth. And I would just go to that booth and lay down, and I would be out. And I would just start feeling it coming on me. I knew it was 8:59. It is happening. Something's going on in my body. And at 9 o'clock, out. I'd have friends spend the night. Friends would come over, spend the night. We're going to stay up all night. We're going to do all this sort of stuff. 9 o'clock, out. The next 2 or 3 hours, they just got to hang out by themselves or with my sister. I don't know what they were doing. One time, I actually fell asleep, and I woke up. They had gotten my sister's lipstick and had just gone all wild all over my face because I couldn't hang. I couldn't stay awake any longer. And now I'm finding that as well, and I hope that my kids don't find my wife's lipstick and figure out how to paint Dad's face or maybe shave Dad's face. Would that be a wild trick? I think I'd actually even kind of like it. That'd be good, just for memory's sake. Hey, Dad, remember that one time? Yeah, I remember that. Alyssa and I, this was a couple years ago, went and we spent some time with her family in Colorado, and her parents were so into this movie called Avatar. They were just so blown away by the CGI effects, and, you know, this thing was all created, you know, on digital with a green screen and, you know, whatever, and just blown away by it. For whatever reason, I was less than impressed, and I could not stay awake, and we stayed there for 4 days, and every night they'd put this movie back on. It's like 3.5 hours, and I would get about 15 minutes into it and just conked out. I couldn't hang. I couldn't stay awake in those moments where my best was required. I just wasn't able to stay awake in those moments. One of the biggest awake moments that America has ever had was in 1734, a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. And he pastored in Northampton in the New England area in Massachusetts. And he pastored this great move of God called the Great Awakening. And the hot part of it lasted about 5 months as it went into 1735. But there was a great awakening that took place where the hunger of God was so intense that revival meetings were happening, where the church was packed, where the streets, there was just a different day, where the community was shifted and hearts were ablaze for the Lord. They called it the Great Awakening, where there was a spiritual laziness or lethargy or sleep that fell upon the people, and they responded with the sleeping giant got provoked within them, and the response was white-hot affection for the Lord, passion that was burning on the altar of their heart. There was a new desire and a craving for more, And this thing took off. Jonathan Edwards was the main human instrument that God used to awaken the hearts again for the things of the Lord. I just want to ask you this morning, do I feel like my heart is on fire for God? Do I truly have a passion for Jesus? Is there anything that's sitting back in me that's thinking, oh, it's surely 9 o'clock in the evening. My spirit is tired, or my heart is just maybe not interested in the way, or maybe I should have a little bit deeper, but I'm just not there. Or maybe you're saying, man, I have never been more intensely focused on the Lord in all my life. I feel like I'm only crescendoing in this thing. As we kind of evaluate our own hearts, we're going to go to the Bible and see the different characters of the story and which one is us and how do we fit in. Acts chapter 20 and in verse 7. Are y'all there? On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke, this is Luke writing, Luke was one of the disciples, Luke is writing, and he says, so we're all together, Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. Paul had been going on these missionary trips, he had been going on journeys to the new places in the world, and this was his third missionary trip, so now he's coming back, and he's telling people, they don't have the Bible. This thing, they were living out the Bible. So there's no Bible for them to read. Like, what is the impact of Jesus' life and what's happening in all of these churches? And so Paul is telling them, and they're hungry. They can't get enough of hearing about all the miracles that are going on. And it's the last night that Paul's in town. It's the last night of the revival meeting, right? It's the last night that the guest speaker is here. And here he is, and here's all of this energy, and the people are hungry for it. And he preaches until midnight. Y'all thought I went long going to 11:35. He goes to midnight preaching this thing. He goes until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were meeting. Seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus. Does anybody wish you had a Greek god sort of a name? Just me? Like Eutychus. I am Eutychus. And whenever you guys read your Bible, do you ever get tripped up on things that don't matter? Like me. Like I'm like, oh, Eutychus, what a cool name. I bet he was in the tribe of Leonidas or, you know, or something just cool. I don't know. And I get hung up there for a while and then I never finish reading my Bible. But Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. Luke, you dirty dog. He went on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went, threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He is alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. If you're going to have a revival meeting that goes that long, you better have two meals. So he broke bread again, and they ate. After talking until daylight, y'all thought that midnight was long. Wait till I talk till the sun comes up. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. One of my all-time favorite Fairmount Friends Quakers is my Uncle Kenny, Kenny Harold. Kenny Harold would sit on this pew where Dale and Quentin are sitting. He would sit back here, and he usually, as you walked in, would either grab your ear or punch you in the ribs. That's how you knew you were loved. If he didn't talk to you, he didn't like you. So he'd come up, grab your ears, punch you in the ribs, take a little gut shot. You're like, oh, I feel the love in this place. That was Uncle Kenny. Uncle Kenny would sit on this back pew and would fall asleep every week. Every week, Uncle Kenny would be out. He would be, Lois, could you ever hear him snoring? But yeah, Lois could hear him snoring. And that's hard because you've got, it's almost like in a basketball game when the fans are so loud, you got those haters out there, you got those snorers out there. They're just giving you the feedback on how impressive your message is. And that was Uncle Kenny. And he'd be snoring and I would get done with a message. In Jesus' name, amen. He would wake up and I'm walking to the back. Yeah, Brock, hey, best sermon I've ever heard. Best one all week I've ever heard. Like, Uncle Kenny, you didn't hear a word I said the whole morning, but it was the best one that he ever heard. This last week, I was in Florida at one of our nursing homes, and we were doing a leadership boot camp. And we were teaching at this leadership boot camp, and we did the first day, and then we came back the second day early in the morning. And early in the morning, there were different dietary, different aides, nurses, people sitting in the room. And our dietary manager, man, was just sucking wind. And she's sitting there in the back row. And she's just kind of, you ever just do that head nod? And she's just kind of in it, and she's fighting it, and she's just, and I'm thinking, man, I am on fire right now. I'm bringing it. Man, I've just got this quote, and I got this illustration, I got this thing. This is going to be so practical, and here's just a great story of how it all looks. And she could not care less about what I was delivering. And just like, and then after a while, just you can't fight it anymore. Out. And you know what? There was this thing of compassion that hit my heart for this lady. Because when you know the story, she had been, we're running short, staff-wise, had pulled a double the night before and had come in to make sure that all of our dining was ready. Then comes in early to get the entire kitchen set up for breakfast, and we started our meeting early. So she has, very small margin, and she's just sucking wind in this moment. Several times that I've heard this message preached, it comes across as, let's laugh about Paul because he's a long-winded preacher. Or let's point out Eutychus because he falls asleep in church. And let me tell you something, if you're going to fall asleep in church, don't go to the balcony and sit on the edge. Eutychus, some of that's on you, bro. You just can't fall asleep in a window, right? But he's there. First of all, I appreciate that. He's a young man who's there. And he shows up to church even when he's tired, even when he's sucking wind. Maybe he's limping to the finish line, but he's at least in the room. I bet there was a lot of other young men that lived in that community not interested in going to hear Paul. No matter how awesome it was, no matter the big move of God, don't want to be there. At least he got himself there. In one of the talks that I heard, they talked about it's kind of how sleep works and how it goes on in your body and what happens in your bloodstream. I thought this was so fascinating, a guy who had studied different studies on sleep. And he said, what is really going on is that your body is so exhausted and so tired that your blood is at such a point of damage, is what it calls it. The body has had all this damage throughout the day, whether it's work, it's back pain, it's mental stress, it's all the relational tension that's going on, it's all the demands on you, it's the thought that's going into tomorrow that we're all worried about, and all this stuff is just pumping through you that's sending messages to your brain saying, we're done, boop, 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 it's over, I can't go anymore, we need to shut it down. And so what our body does is doesn't listen to the internal conversation, and we fight it. We fight it, right? We're fighting against it, and we're trying to bring our best, and I'm trying to stay awake, and the body is saying there is so much damage that has been happening that we can naturally heal ourselves. If you would just stop, if you could just stop for a moment, we could do this whole kind of reset on your body. And if you could pump the brakes just for a second. But we as good old Midwesterners and Americans, we can't pump the brakes. We can't slow down, right? We got to keep going. We got to keep working. We got to get the next deal. We got to close whatever. And so we just fight through the weariness. And warfare weariness is legit. Is it not? It's not. Okay. Move on. And you're fighting against it to try to do something that your body naturally is telling you to stop. So Eutychus is here at this meeting that's going till midnight, and it goes till daylight, and he's in the room. I want to ask the question of this. as we look at our church service, as Paul would, and I want to identify, I am Eutychus. And all of you look that I am Eutychus. Have you ever felt like I'm so dinged and I'm so damaged and I'm coming here to church and I just can't fight anymore? And I'm kind of sitting maybe on the fringe, or I'm sitting on the outside. This was a small room, and we know just kind of through history, it wasn't a room like this, wasn't the upper room. It would have been a smaller, probably a living room. And it says that the place is packed, and they all have got lights everywhere. So a couple things that come to mind. The place is packed just with body heat. It's probably warm. They're all burning these lamps. There's all these fumes going on. It's hot, and I'm just drowsy. And Paul won't stop talking. Cool story, Paul. Can we all go to bed? We can hear those stories in the morning. But there was a sense of urgency because Paul was leaving in the morning, so they're all just packed in there. He's tired. But why wasn't he in the mix? He's on the outside, and he finds himself sitting in this window. Sometimes people can fall out of church when they've tried their best, but the damage is just too much. And this weariness comes. The warfare weariness of life can come, and there's a falling away that can lead to death. Maybe you're sitting in here and you're thinking, man, I've fallen away at times. Maybe even I feel like I'm in the midst of a fall. I feel like I'm three stories up on my way down, and it's a slow fall. Maybe it's been a hard, fast, quick fall. Who knows what it's been like? But if you could put yourself in the story of Eutychus, have I ever not been connected, and the battle is too much? Let's transition here, and let's say that we're the crowd. We're the crowd, and we're coming in here, and we're coming to hear Paul because we're hungry, and we want to hear what's God doing, and I'm getting impacted, and things are helping in my life, and how can this change me, and coming hungry, and maybe even a little selfish in the sense of, I want to get mine. I want to get my encounter. I want to have my little deal. I want to get with my little family. I want to sit in my little pew. I want to live in my little world. I want my church experience to be kind of focused on me. And somebody just fell out the window. And I'm focused on, man, what's Paul going to say next? What's going to happen next? I want to engage here. And I just wonder, are there times where people have fallen away, but the crowd is so focused on something else? We could laugh about Paul. We could laugh about Eutychus. What about the crowd? Why wasn't this person said, hey, you're falling asleep. Get out of the window. You're heading towards danger. Hey, there's something going on in your life that I care about, and I want to pay attention to it. And I want to focus my attention not on whatever I can get out of the church experience. I got to leave that, and I want to engage on what is going on with you. And I want to pull you in because some dangerous things could happen. There looks like there's been some damage going on in life, right? And we find those on the outside, on the fringe, that could be falling away and saying, no, not on my watch. I'm a part of the crowd that's focused on the fringe, not only focused on the main stage. I'm looking at those that are on the outside. Let's put ourselves back into Eutychus's place. We've fallen, and maybe we're dead. I feel like this fall in my marriage has just brought so much death. I feel like the words spoken over me have just so zinged my heart. I'm just dying inside. I feel like this job is just so burdensome. I feel like I'm dying inside. I'm not just weary. I'm not just tired. I'm dead. And the death that can come upon us can feel so hopeless. We can feel so helpless. We can feel so disconnected. I used to be in that room. I used to be in that place. I used to be with all of those people. And I am so far away. And I feel dead. And the hopelessness can set in. Now let's transition. And we're Paul. Paul pumps the brakes. Paul says, hey, what we're doing in here about just being our Christian selves and about just focusing on our next little Bible story and me just telling you more stories and everybody's just kind of entertained, something is going on outside of this place where people are dead. And we need to stop with our religious little ceremonial church service here. And we need to get out of here. And we need to find those that are dead, those that are disconnected, those that are hurting, those that are sucking wind right now. We need to get out of this room. And so he leads the charge. Pastors cannot just stay in the pulpit. They've got to get in the public. I got to lead the charge and find those that are hurting, disconnected, so dinged. The fall has been intense and they're dead. And look at what Paul does. Paul doesn't just kind of throw out a prayer. Hey, I hope that it goes well for you. Give a little phone call. Eutychus, you okay? Write you a little note, send you a tweet. Paul climbs out of his world, comes down to this man, and he says he threw himself on him. If I could just take a moment, it would look something like this. He would lay down, arms wide, body on body, in one of the most vulnerable, weird, intimate, out of the box, what are you doing? Engagement with someone who has fallen away. To open wide your arms and to fully embrace those that are damaged. This was Paul. Church, I think at some point we've got to stop whatever we think it is to be a Christian. And it's not church attendance. It's not getting applause because you were in the room with your light. Although I hope we all stay in the room with our light. At some point, you got to get out of the room and let your light shine before men that they may see the good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven, because we are the light of the world, not kept in the upper room, but we're like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Because Jesus is the light of the world, and we're called to be just like Jesus and to take our light into that world. And to say, awake, O sleeper, those that are far from the Lord, awake, arise, and shine, and let his glory shine upon you. That we would be the lighthouse of hope for those that are lost at sea. And church, it's no longer just about coming here. We've got to live this thing out there, because Eutychus is dying and he needs the hope of a Savior. Maybe they've tried to come in and they just didn't connect with the church and they fell out a window somehow. There's just a falling away. And I just want to say, you know what? We've got to arms open wide, throw ourselves on the lost, throw ourselves on those that are hurting. Be way more intentional at those that are disconnected. I want to encourage us as Paul. I am Paul. You are Paul. And as we're called to be just like Jesus, let's not make it about church. Let's make it about how can I live Jesus every day when I'm in the world, in my job, in my home, in my family relationships, whatever it possibly can be. This morning as we close, I want you to right now identify, who am I? I'm Eutychus. Maybe I've fallen away. Maybe it's not a falling away from the Lord. Maybe it's not a falling away from the church. You're saying, hey, I love Jesus and I still attend church. But I am hurting. Maybe it's the crowd. You're like, I need my heart shifted. I really got to focus on the lost. I got to focus on those that are on the outside. God, would you move my heart? Let my heart bleed and ache for what your heart is moved by. Like, man, I just don't really think about the lost. I don't pray about the lost. I don't really care about those that are far from the Lord. God, change that in me. Maybe you're thinking, I'm Paul. God, help me with my mission. Help me with my mandate. Help me reach those far from you. What I'm going to do this morning, maybe it's just a bit different. Someone's going to hang out up here. As we dismiss, if you need prayer, I'm going to be available. Pastor Andrew, if you'd be available, just to pray. And you just come up and say, I'm Eutychus. You come up and say, I'm the crowd. You come up and say, I'm Paul, whoever. but identify with somebody. And if you need prayer, we want to pray. Jesus, bring healing. Jesus, bring a refocus. Jesus, bring an energy to fulfill the vision, whatever those things are. We're going to pray as we close. Would you all stand with me this morning? Lord, we just ask you right now, God, to do a shift in our church. Do a move. God, awaken the sleeper. God, awaken those. God, awaken our hearts. Cause a great awakening to move across our church. Jesus, we ask you right now, Father, that you would do a supernatural work to cause those dead hearts to come alive again. Lord, we just pray for the crowd right now, Jesus, that we would have a refocus and a reshift, that we come and attend for something much more than ourselves. Lord, we pray for those that are living this missional life. Strengthen their hands, God. Encourage their hearts. Lift their heads. Lord, we just pray for those that identify as Paul. Just continue the charge. Lord, we just pray for that fiery affection to be inside of our hearts, that all of us would respond in the upper room with a pursuit of Jesus on our spirit. We honor you, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, please come on down.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.